fly sequence now.
What's up there, Sparky?
Blessed morning to you guys, Cap.
Blessed morning back at you, dog.
Captain Haw.
Price is Right was not as good of a game show.
The Price is Wrong.
Whoa.
My all-time favorite still on the Wheel of Fortune.
We need a phrase this time. That's a category for this puzzle, and it is a prize puzzle.
I'm not a big Jeopardy guy. Did you like Family Feud?
Yeah, when Richard Dawson.
It was a little creepy when he did it, though.
He kissed everybody.
On the lips.
Everybody.
Yeah.
That was a little uncomfortable.
Mark my words, Lou. There's something creepy about that man.
You know what other one I liked? The good old Dick Clark. $50,000 pyramid or was it a $25,000 pyramid?
It used to be a $10,000 pyramid.
It used to be 10.
It kept going up.
We should do that one day. We should do a $10,000 pyramid because that's what this show sort of reminds me of. Things Cap would say. Ridiculous. Phenomenal. Black and white. Failure. You know,
things
Hawk
would say. Journalist. Fan.
Describe these things that can be witty. Things that can be witty.
From the seventh floor of the Tribune Towers.
Boy, this has been tremendously tremendous.
In downtown Chicago.
Chicago!
Sucker.
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Let's get it on.
It's the Cap and Haw Show.
Everyone has to do their job.
We're going
to
ball until we fall.
That's a shot and a beer.
Do your job.
That's the Hazleton way.
Let's begin now.
Yes!
Good morning. Welcome in the Cap and Haw, Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus. Alongside lead columnist for the Tribune, David Haw, I'm David Kaplan. Mike Jacobson's our executive producer. Matt Rooney, our associate producer. And Pat Costell is our director. And hope you're watching on TV at CSN or listening to us on the stream at WGN+. Tough loss for the Bulls. A gut-wrenching, twisting, tough ball game. Back and forth, shifting tide. And in the end, LeBron does what Derek did on Friday, a game-winning shot.
Morning, Cap. Yeah, it was quite a weekend at the United Center. I think that if you look back to... You know, since the Jordan era, the games, memorable finishes that the Bulls have been involved in, and you start to make a list, I think that the last two games there would have to be in your top five, just in terms of memorable finishes, because Derrick Rose on Friday night banks it in at the buzzer, three-pointer, the blank expression, the look of just total satisfaction and that was euphoric. It was a great moment for the Bulls, a great moment for Derrick Rose. He deserved that moment. And you got a sense that, well, they have things right where they want them. And yesterday, they played in a game that got down to the finish. And when LeBron James hit that shot, it was like Friday never happened. It was like Friday never happened because it was so disappointing for the Bulls that they passed up on such a great opportunity. James is 10 of 30, 8 turnovers. Kyrie Irving's on one good leg. They have an 11-point lead with 40 seconds to go in the third quarter. They have an opportunity to take a 3-1 series lead in a game, in a series that probably will give you the favorite to win the Eastern Conference Finals. And they walk away hanging their head. And as I wrote today, it felt like in the locker room where there was – look, the Bulls said all the right things. They have the right attitude. Derrick Rose was terrific in setting that tone.
Mm-hmm.
But you couldn't get out of the Bulls locker room without having a sense that it felt like the Bulls trailed this series 2-2.
Correct.
It feels like it's tied. I know that. But you relinquish home court advantage that you had regained, and you are going into Cleveland – with J.R. Smith playing for the Cavs and LeBron James coming off a bad game with a great finish. And I don't know that you can sit here and say, I mean, I'm going to stay with my prediction. I said Bulls in seven. I feel much less confident about that prediction this morning. Just because I don't know that you have you had an opportunity yesterday to take control and you didn't do that. A lot of reasons, but I think that a lot of them stem from, I mean, we can talk about how the last play was defended. I know people have strong opinions on that. I think a lot of people in Chicago need to remember how other teams in other cities felt when Michael Jordan did the exact same thing so many times.
Doesn't make it right, though, what happened yesterday at the
end. I didn't say it made it right. I just said that when you have cities and teams, you know, banging their heads against the wall, second-guessing themselves, second-guessing the coaches, second-guessing the strategy. Michael Jordan did that so much. That was Jordan-esque, what LeBron James did yesterday. And now you feel like, yeah, they need to adjust because they can't go 7 minutes without a point. You can't miss 13 straight shots. You can't get bogged down offensively to the degree the Bulls did with or without Pau Gasol. I think that is where the game was lost as much as anything.
I looked at that. I've watched that last play, God, 15 times at least. Slowed it down, freeze framed it, the whole thing. I've called people that know a lot more basketball than I will know in 50 lifetimes. Guys that have coached the NBA, college coaches, people in the league, and I have asked every one of them, how would you have defended that play? And every single guy, every one of them said, there's no chance LeBron James is catching the ball because I'm doubling him. If you want to beat me with J.R. Smith on a reload three from the top of the key, good luck to you. You want to throw it somewhere else and somebody beats me, good luck to you. Majority of them have said they would not have guarded the inbounder. They would have played 5-on-4. Five guys.
That's dangerous, though. I mean, it is dangerous.
With 1.5 seconds, it's not that dangerous because
you've got a lob possibility. You've got a lot of other
tough angle to lob from.
Yeah, I mean, it's that was a tough angle to hit a shot from.
But if you watch that thing and you've watched it a million times, you watch it over and over again. If you have it on your DVR, Jimmy Butler is not chest to chest with LeBron James at the start of the play. He is not, and he has to be. And then he bites on a V cut. Boom, boom, back to the corner. And if you slow it down and freeze it, he's got a pretty damn clean look. He gets a pretty good look. And again, I'm not denigrating Jimmy Butler. He's an elite defender who had a phenomenal game guarding LeBron James. Harassed him in the 10 for 30. But when you've got an 11-point lead with under a minute to go in the third, you've gotten four 24-second violations in the ballgame. The Bulls' offense has. Kyrie Irving on one leg and LeBron James 10 for 30. You cannot lose that game. Period. End of story. It just can't happen.
Yeah, we agree on that. I think that's definitely a sense of regret that everyone can relate to this morning. Now the Bulls, you know, have to bounce back. The series isn't over.
No, it's not.
And that's what they have to look at. How do you adjust now? What do you do? You know, I thought Derrick Rose played. He had a bad time for a cold stretch in the fourth quarter. He missed maybe seven shots in a row at one point, but he had 31 points, and he was playing.
I had no problem with his shot selection up except for
one shot.
The three.
82-79, minute two left. They come out of
a timeout. He tried to hit a three to tie it right there.
I think he sensed the momentum could be, you know, getting on their side. He felt it in a way that he had felt it before, and he was hot earlier, but he wasn't hot then. And that was not a good shot. I think he'd want that one back when they watch the tape. I think that, you know, the double teaming at the end cap, I know what you're saying, and I think that it's a valid discussion because why do you think then Tom Thibodeau chose not to? Because we're not talking about a guy. We're not talking about David Blatt, an overmatched head coach in the NBA playoffs. Because that guy's proven to be overmatched. Number one, he calls a timeout when they'd have none. Without Tyronn Lue, the Bulls would probably have a technical free throw and possession of the ball. They would have probably won that game.
But don't forget that it's more than that now. It's 5 years ago, everyone laughed and said Eric Spoelstra is outmatched, overmatched, can't handle the moment, shouldn't be coaching that team, and that he's LeBron's assistant. And he's still there. He's got two rings, and he's proven to be a pretty damn good head coach.
Good counter. I think Eric Spoelstra also had Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. Mm-hmm. He had better talent than the Cavs do now. I also remember if there was as much public questioning of Eric Spoelstra by his own players. When LeBron James volunteers that he scratched the final play and he called it himself, basically anointing himself king coach.
That goes on all the time. That goes on all the time where elite players go, no.
Okay,
me the ball.
If it goes on all the time, I don't know what you're basing that on, but if that goes on all the time, it certainly isn't as public as it was yesterday when LeBron James volunteered that information. And for the second time in this series, and we've only, you know, we're talking about four games, half of these games afterward, LeBron James has publicly questioned his coach. The first time in how they defended the Bulls. This time, the fact that he didn't have enough confidence in his head coach's play that was called from the inbounds, he overruled it and said, give me the ball.
Right, same thing Michael did on the shot that over Craig Elo. We'll get to all of that.
26 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's 26 years later.
It was correct, but that stuff goes on all the time with the superstar. Get me the ball and get out of my way.
They don't publicly question their coaches like that. My point is that David Blatt may not be long for Cleveland. He may not get the chance that Eric Spoelstra has gotten in Miami because it's very rare to have somebody that openly scrutinize and raise doubt about his ability to coach that team.
All right, we have Hawks-Ducks is now set. Watched a little of the Calgary-Anaheim game last night. Went to bed with one period in the books. I think it was 1-0 Calgary. They win it in overtime on a Corey Perry goal. We got the baseball weekend. So a lot to talk about going on at Chicago Sports. But obviously at the start of the show, we're talking a lot of Bulls. Phone lines are already locked and loaded.
Vincent Goodwill's 955. He was there yesterday, obviously, for CSNChicago.com. We'll talk to him.
Yep.
Dan Weeder at 1040, tell us about the Bears rookie minicamp and what a Shane Carden looks like.
Done.
And we also will get into, at some point later in the show, pretty serious allegations going on with the Illinois football program.
Against Tim Beckman.
Yeah, and he has issued a statement, and Shannon Ryan has that story in today's Chicago Tribune, and it's definitely worth reading.
No question about it. Hey, when was the last time you bought yourself a new pillow? If you don't have a MyPillow, you don't have the guaranteed most comfortable pillow out there. Time for you to get a MyPillow. MyPillow is the official pillow recommended by the National Sleep Foundation. I've praised this product for a long time, well before they ever advertised here. MyPillow comes in four support levels. It conforms to your preferred shape to create a cooling effect throughout the night, keeping your head cool and comfortable. See where they've sold over 5 million atop a 10-year warranty, MyPillow. So confident you'll love it, they'll give you a 60-day money-back guarantee. So sleep on it. If you're not happy, they'll refund 100% of your purchase price. But trust me, you will love it. Act this week. MyPillow gives you 50% off all products. Use the promo code CAP, K-A-P. Log on, MyPillow.com. Promo code's K-A-P. Or call 800-299-5854. 800-299-5854. Use the promo code K-A-P for 50% off your order. We'll get to your calls. 312-235-2525. Bulls lost one they should have won. We'll discuss it with you next on Cap and Haw.
Now, more Cap and Haw on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus.
To be honest, the play that was drawn up, I scratched it. And I just told Coach, just give me the ball. And, you know, we either going to go in overtime or I'm going to win it for us. It was that simple.
Were you supposed to inbound on the original play?
I was. I was supposed to take the ball out. I told Coach, there's no way I'm taking the ball out unless I could shoot it over the backboard and go in. So, you know, I told him, have somebody else take the ball out, give me the ball, and everybody get out the way.
There he is, the king, who delivered the goods with a game-winning jump shot on that final play. Captain Hawk continues, Comcast Sportsnet WGN+.
Who does that, though? Who does that? How many times do you hear a NBA player, if it is true that the guys change plays all the time, who goes to this podium and volunteers that kind of information that knowingly makes your coach look like a fool?
I don't think it makes him look bad.
Oh, it does.
Absolutely disagree.
You don't think it makes David Blatt look bad?
No. I've talked to a bunch of big-name coaches last night and today.
I know you have.
And so I'm serious.
I know. Okay.
I've called major time NBA coaches.
Okay.
And I asked them, and they said, dude, that goes on in every huddle we have. Our best player will say to us.
Ask those guys and ask any reasonable person that heard LeBron James after the game.
None of them had a problem with it. None of them.
Not a problem with him changing the play.
No, what he said about his coach. None of them.
He looks foolish.
None of them agree with you. None of them.
Okay.
I mean, if there was one, I'd tell you. Not one. They said, dude, come on. He's LeBron James. When he says it, you go, okay, go for it. Get it done.
And you can't tell me that a first-year NBA coach whose tension with his players all year has been an issue, that him dealing with that yesterday doesn't undercut the respect level for him.
I'm just telling you what these guys have all said.
I'm asking you what you think.
I don't think it makes him look bad.
You don't think he makes David Blatt look bad?
I think him taking a timeout makes him look like an idiot.
Well, that coupled with the timeout, coupled with the way that the last minute of the game went down, David Blatt looks overmatched.
Yeah, I think that the timeout does. That should not happen. It can't happen in that moment. For Tyronn Lue, give him a raise for saving his coach from potentially losing his gig over a horrible call. But on the shot change, no problem with it. None. I don't think it makes him look bad at all. 312-235-2525. Scott in Algonquin wants to talk about David Blatt. Hey, Scott, welcome.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Terrible Monday today. But, Cap, you're my homie, man. But I have to go with Ha on this one. Dude, LeBron rolled his coach under the bus. Oh, yeah. He drew up something. I didn't even look at it. I took my own shot. But number two.
Well, that's not exactly what he said, first of all. He said,
well, I know that's not exactly what he said.
He said, I'm not inbounding the ball. Get me the ball and get the F out of my way. And you do know, Scott, that in 1989, Michael Jordan was not supposed to take the shot. That was supposed to go to Dave Corzine, and Michael was inbounding.
But did Michael tell you that after the game? No.
Yeah, but LeBron.
There was no social media back then and press conferences like this.
There were press conferences after the game.
What's that?
I think LeBron is not Michael Jordan in a lot of ways. For one, he doesn't have that killer instinct. Oh, I'm going to take you down no matter what. He really doesn't. Yesterday fell into his lap. The coach should have gotten technical on that timeout that he didn't have. What a meatball, you know? We should have shot a technical free throw. And, you know, who knows? LeBron could still hit a three and win the whole thing. But he rolled his coach under the bus, in my opinion. And his coach looks like a fool today.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I mean, I think that that's been the question about the future of the Cavs is, if they don't win this series, is David Blatt returning? How much damage has been done to his credibility? How much of this goes on that we're not, you know, paying attention to necessarily because we are this series, but how much has gone on up to this point? And what are his chances of being the guy who Eric Spoelstra to, you know, maintain some consistency to establish an identity? Eric Spoelstra now is well regarded in the league. David Blatt, you know, yesterday doesn't help. It just doesn't help.
Let's go back to the phones. 312-235-2525. Let's see. Ian's in Sterling. Hey, Ian, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Ian.
Good, man. Good morning. I got an invitation from David to call in and share why I thought that was the biggest game.
Oh, yeah. Hey,
in
Ian.
Post-Jordan era.
Yeah. Thanks for following up on Twitter. All right. Yeah, Ian's, you're my guy.
No problem. I'll give you three quick reasons, and I'll let you guys talk about it.
Okay.
It work. So, number one is that I thought this was the biggest game because of Tom Thibodeau's status is going into next season, perceived or otherwise. He may not be with him next year, and who knows if you're going to get a better option. Number two, Jimmy Butler's status as a restricted free agent. The roster might look different next year. Are the Bulls going to pay the luxury tax to bring him back? Are they going to have to move some of these pieces to get him back? And number three is you're playing a Cavs team that's got an injured Kyrie Irving, an injured Kevin Love, and a somewhat injured Iman Shumpert, and you still can't put them away. Is the series over? No, but I think the Bulls made a hell of a lot tougher on themselves to win it, and I don't personally think they will. So, you guys enjoy.
Thanks, Ian.
Appreciate it.
Okay, so Ian yesterday was tweeting before the game that this was the biggest.
Oh, I thought you met him at the arena.
No, he's tweeting before the game that this was the biggest Bulls game of the post-Jordan era, and I basically said he was overstating that, and he made his argument, and I said, well, you should call the show tomorrow to make your argument based on what he just told us. Now, I don't think that Jimmy Butler, and you know, stated it well, and I think that you could make that argument. I think you said that about game two or three. The reason I didn't think it was is because they're playing again tomorrow night. And, you know, so there's no finality to it. There's direction, there's momentum, there's all sorts of things to discuss, but there's no finality to it. And I think there's going to be bigger games than yesterday's, you know, if we get to a game seven on Sunday. So maybe, you know, he made his argument. But I think the Jimmy Butler thing is not a factor. I think that he's going to be
Bull for
they've
a said
time.
They're going to match any offer if he gets one.
Yeah.
By the way, when I was saying in '89, there was no live cable carrying press conferences, and it was just different. But the players obviously spoke.
Well, yeah, obviously.
But I think Sam got that from Michael.
If in the book later, after the fact, it wasn't immediately after the game, your first reaction isn't to blame your coach and to make everybody realize how dumb your coach looks and how smart you are. That's the only thing about LeBron James that bothers me occasionally. I mean, I think he's an easy guy to admire and respect the way he plays the game. He says the right thing 90% of the time. I did not like the way that he pointed the finger at his coach to make him look foolish yesterday.
Yeah, but look, I watched it. You were there. I didn't feel like he was condescending when he said it.
He's always condescending when he talks about David Blatt. He always sounds condescending to me.
I didn't think that soundbite sounded condescending.
There's a reason why people consider him head coach LeBron James and David Blatt assistant coach. It's just the way that it seems like the demeanor, the respect, the tone of what he says, how he describes everything that went down. Tyronn Lue is the guy who, you know, seems to have more respect from players than Blatt, who is a little unorthodox. You're just observing him. He's what he says, how he says it. Still kind of a feeling out process, it feels like.
Yeah, I'm just talking about that one particular soundbite. I didn't think he was condescending. He was just, hey, man, no. Get out of the way and let me try and win it or we'll go to overtime.
Do you think that the texter asked a question, 312? You think we would have known who called the play if LeBron misses?
Good question.
I mean, so
Coach,
I think...
put the ball in my hands and I just didn't get it done.
Yeah. I called the play so I could miss and send the game into overtime where we would lose, because had we run what the coach wanted us, maybe we would have won. You know, then they're second-guessing him.
No question.
So
9 a.m. hour sponsored by the great people at Apt Electronics in Glenview. A-B-T. Apt.com, the website. Ask for our buddy, the great Steve Shapiro, for the best customer service you'll ever get. 312-235-2525. Back to your calls. More talk about a really stinging loss yesterday at the United Center. Series tied 2-2, headed back to Cleveland. Be right back.
This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN Plus.
I don't think there's any stealing going on anywhere. I don't think we steal from them. I don't think they steal from us. I think they're games that are hard fought that you got to win. You win games and you lose games.
Getting this game out your head. This game is already over. Just enjoy your day with your mom, with your parents, and really just get forward to battling and competing again the next time we play.
Coach Tom Thibodeau, Derrick Rose, whose kid was adorable, wearing his Cubs jersey, the whole deal.
John Lester jersey.
Yeah.
John Lester jersey.
And I thought that Derrick, you know what, he showed great leadership there. Look, move on, enjoy the day with your mom, and let's go back at it and get the next one.
Let me say this, because we have
Captain Hall right here on CSN WGN Plus.
A lot of time on this show and in this town criticizing Derrick Rose when he has said things that have made us go, what? And when he has done things that have raised our suspicions or just made us very curious things. This guy we saw over the weekend was the guy that you want to see all the time. And whether it's because of the playoffs, whether it's because of everything he's been through, whether it's because of the simple mechanics of sitting behind a microphone and knowing he's projecting to a room and not in his locker where he's not always and surrounded by people where maybe the dynamic of it isn't really great for a guy that doesn't project well. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's all of these things combined. But the Derrick Rose that we saw on Friday, and I'm not talking about the shot and I'm not talking about 31 points yesterday, the Derrick Rose that we saw and evaluate and review, the guy in front of the microphones on Friday and Sunday, was somebody that Chicago can be very proud of.
He was outstanding.
Because the maturity that he showed yesterday and looking forward and moving on and not wearing it hard on his sleeve, you know how much it hurt to lose that game.
But you know what the difference was between some of the stuff he has said before? He was talking about basketball yesterday and stuff he's very comfortable talking about.
And he was also, he's succeeding too. I mean, he's having a lot of success. Maybe that factors in too. You're right. It was talking about basketball. On Friday night after that shot, and I wrote about this because just the way that he had the sort of the blank expression, like he expected this, like he had visualized this, like he deserved this moment. Mm-hmm. Afterward at the podium, I mean, he was rocking back and forth because he was hooked up to a stim machine. But the way that he handled it was almost, there was a zen-like quality to what he was experiencing because it wasn't overwhelming him. He wasn't getting carried away. He wasn't really that phased by it, and he projected very well. And I didn't have any problem with him having his son on his lap yesterday.
Me either.
Because, you know, here's the thing, and I don't want to, you know, I'm not suggesting this for every team in town. If that gets in the way of you fulfilling your professional obligation, Cap, like, you know, well, he's not giving you any substance to what he's talking about, then it becomes maybe an issue. Would you agree with that?
Agreed.
If the kid's talking and you're like, oh, no, hey, isn't this funny? And you're using it sort of as a human shield, dodging the scrutiny or dodging the questions or whatever.
Like they said about Dusty.
Like they accused Dusty of. And I think that's a different – that's going way back, and that's really kind of a tired example that gets trotted out all the time. I thought Derrick Rose had his son there because he wanted his son there, and he did not – duck anything, and he was as candid and as forthright as he could have been with or without his son there, and he would have been the same guy.
Agreed.
If PJ was somewhere else, but they were funny. He's a cute little kid, and he was back behind the curtain before while David Blatt was speaking, and you know, to see that interaction was actually, yeah, it was a good perspective from a guy who had just been through a very tough day.
By the way, this is from the Cleveland Plain Dealer this morning. You could say that LeBron James could have not mentioned that Mixel bought the final shot, but in this hyper-media age, it would have come out anyway. It was better for James to tell the story and get it over with, because second-hand reports are often far worse than what comes from the original source whose name is on the words.
Yeah, that sounds like rationalization to me.
So,
who wrote that? His publicist?
Who did write these articles? This is Terry Pluto of the Plain
Dealer. Yeah, Terry Pluto is a great columnist.
So
it would have come out maybe in various versions. I think J.R. Smith also had a little mix-up kerfuffle, if you will, after the game when he was reported as saying that the first play call was dumb, or maybe he left them and he corrected saying that he left them in doubt or something to that effect. But yeah, there's all sorts of there's a ton of reporters. It's the most popular athlete in the world, perhaps.
Current athlete, for sure.
LeBron James, yeah. Probably the most recognizable face in the world. Tiger Woods, LeBron James, Ronaldo. Who else?
Floyd Mayweather,
Messi,
maybe.
Lionel Messi.
Floyd, yes. Mayweather, maybe.
Mayweather, okay. There's a top five. Tom Brady.
By the way, did you hear the report out of Vegas last night on Mayweather?
I did not.
He had $3 million on the Clippers last night.
What an idiot.
He's out of his mind.
What an absolute idiot.
Let's go, yeah, idiot with $1 billion in the bank. Let's go back to the phones. 312-235-2525. Brian is in DeKalb. He wants to talk David Blatt. Hey, Brian, what's going on there, Sparkly?
Hi there, fellas. Hey, you know, one of the famous shots that wasn't taken in DeKalb was Scott Pippen's 1.7 seconds. Mm-hmm. I think LeBron... That happens all the time. They argue on the bench and everything else. I think he might have thought it over and not said it afterwards, but I don't have a problem with that. But I think a lot of people will, just because they're naive and think that he's undermining his coach. I think the coach may have been trying to protect him because he'd had an off-shooting night and he didn't have to bear the brunt of missing that shot. I'll hang up and see what you guys say.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
He
appreciate it.
He was 1 of 7 from three-point range.
10 of 30 for the game.
And at that point, he would have been 9 of 29.
Right.
Maybe drew up the play thinking J.R. Smith was hot in the fourth quarter, 11 points. Maybe it wasn't such a dumb play call. J.R. Smith was shooting lights out. Mm-hmm. That fourth quarter was his moment. But I think if you have LeBron James on the court in the game,
I don't care
if
he's 0 for 29.
They got to take a minute here. And if we can see this, this is one of the best sports pictures you're going to see of 2015. Mm-hmm. Nuccio Danuzzo in the Chicago Tribune.
Hold on, let me get my textbook out. Hang on.
Look at all of the curiosity. Look at all of the different everything that this picture captures. It is definitely worth 1,000 words. Mm-hmm. I wrote 824 on the game, and this is worth definitely 176 more than that. This is a picture worth more than 1,000 words, just terrific sports photography. And you look at Thibs' expression. Look how close Jimmy Butler is to the ball. There's Nico doing what he usually does. He's out of the game, but he's watching somebody shoot the ball in front of him. Mm-hmm. and all the expressions that people on the bench, if do yourself a favor, and not just because I work there, but yeah, because I work there, that get yourself a paper today. Buy an actual newspaper. It doesn't.
Of the Tribune.
Yes, Chicago Tribune. The digital version doesn't do it justice. You've got to look at how this picture encapsulates everything that happened on that last shot. Just a terrific, terrific photo.
It is. That's an amazing photo taken by Nuccio D'Annunzio.
D'Annunzio.
D'Annunzio. Yeah. Sorry. Nuccio.
Great guy, great photographer. D'Annunzio. Yep.
So, yeah, that is an amazing picture. And I'm still amazed. LeBron's got a pretty darn clean look. He does. But, again, we can go through the technicalities.
Look where he is. Look where he is. He's jumping backward, though. He's
right.
Jumping backward. He ends up
basically off a bad ankle
on the Bulls bench. I know what you're saying. I will take my chances in that situation. You feel pretty good about overtime. I mean, I know he hit a tough shot.
Did you see the replay when he rolled his ankle? He stepped on Derek's foot?
Yeah.
He got it good.
Would
you agree? Mike's in my ear right now going, oh, you want an Oscar for that acting job on his ankle? He rolled that ankle big time, Mike. Give credit where credit's due, man.
It looked like
it was bad, but come on. All basketball players over-exaggerate these injuries. He even said he basically just took all the time up so he could stretch it out a little bit. He was on the ground for what, a minute and a half?
Bigger issue was he was, I don't know, about a minute and a half.
Yeah, I don't
it's
think
it was.
Pretty
long time.
I think that he's a tough guy, and he got, I don't think it was a minute and a half. Give him credit for overcoming injury. A bigger issue down the stretch there was the fact that we talk about this who called the play. The fact that they got a chance to call the play at all.
That rule has got to change. And I'm trying to remember, it was Jalen Rose. I think it was Jalen Rose. It might have been inside the NBA because I watched that last night too. When they had Shaq wrapped in bubble wrap, you were writing. He was completely wrapped in bubble wrap because he fell off the set the other night. It was hilarious. And they talked about that you should be forced, if you don't have a timeout left, and the team, even if they have a timeout left, if they don't use a timeout and it's during a review, you got to go stand in front of the opposing team's bench.
That's hard to enforce.
No, you have a referee and go, five of you are going to stand down here, five of you are going to stand right there. They said that would alleviate a coach being able to put a play together when he has no time.
Well, the review not only added seconds to the clock, so it gave him 1.5 instead of 0.8 or 0.7. It allowed them to call a play, and it was not a play that seemed like it would need that much of a review. The ball went off the Bulls, mm-hmm. LeBron's layup, which was defended well. And you know what? I thought they were going to call a foul on Joakim Noah there.
That was a foul.
That was a foul.
No question.
And then LeBron's shooting free throws, and he makes one out of two, and the Bulls get the ball back. I mean, who knows how it would have ended?
Correct. Maybe Derek would have hit another shot at the buzzer.
Stage would have been set and the narrative might have changed.
But he did get fouled. No question.
He did get fouled and they didn't call it. But I think after, the Bulls got some breaks down the stretch, I think, because how often do you see LeBron James called for two offensive fouls in the final 90 seconds
of
the game.
Yeah, that one on Dunleavy, where he hit Dunleavy, no doubt was an offensive foul.
Yes,
good
absolutely.
Call, and good to see the officials. And admitted from Friday night, they missed three calls down the stretch, two on LeBron, one on Jimmy Butler.
Yep.
All right, we want to welcome a brand new sponsor here at the Cap'n Hall, Wintrust. Wintrust Banks. Wintrust loves a good rivalry, and who doesn't? I know I do. Here in Chicago, we've got one of the best. Cubs versus White Sox. North Side versus South Side. Blue versus Black. Put your money where your heart is, Chicago. Decide for your side with a Cubs or White Sox checking account from your local Wintrust Community Bank. It even comes with your very own Cubs or Sox debit card. So you go to the bank and you pay, or you go somewhere and you pay for your dinner, there's a White Sox debit card right there. How about a Cub one? You're a Cub fan. There you go with the Wrigley marquee. You get your debit card, and you look like a diehard fan showing your baseball pride every time you make a purchase. How cool. Plus, you could cheer for your team by tweeting or Instagramming with hashtag DecideCubs or hashtag DecideSox. When you choose, either online or in the bank, you'll have Wintrust donate up to $500,000 to Cubs and White Sox charities. Follow along online. See whose fans are cheering the loudest and learn more at wintrust.com/youdecide. I'm banking there. You should bank there. Banking services provided by Wintrust Community Banks, Chicago Cubs, and Chicago White Sox trademarks used with permission. Member FDIC. Go get your Cubs or your White Sox debit card. Have a great one. We'll be right back.
This is the Cap'n Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN Plus.
I don't like this, Mike. A free timeout when you review. There has to
to be an adjustment where the guys have to stay on the floor.
You're 100% correct on
that. This is a poor rule. It just really is. I don't even know if the ball went out of bounds on that initial hit.
But I think that's what they're looking at. But in terms of timing as well, but you can't overemphasize enough. This has got to change. I can't agree with you more. So the Cavs, with no timeout, have an opportunity to huddle up and design a play.
Welcome back, Kevin Hogg, Comcast Sportsnet, WGN Plus. Jeff Van Gundy, Mark Jackson on the call yesterday on ABC.
Still got to make the play. And also, I have been told that I need to look at the replay closer, but did Tom Thibodeau request the replay after that scrum, after the LeBron layup went out of bounds?
I don't know.
Did Tom Thibodeau, you know, call for the replay? Maybe they would have done it anyway, but I do think that there's at least some indication that he was somebody who wanted them to review the play, which in fact would have sent both teams to their bench to give the Bulls a chance to defend.
Let me tell you
call it defense too.
Who was a hell of a player in that game yesterday? Timofey Mozgov.
Oh yeah, he's excellent.
4 for 5 from the floor, 15 points, 9 rebounds. That guy is a stud.
You know, he's more fluid than I think people give him credit for. He finishes pretty well. Big factor yesterday, Cap, when the Bulls decided to go small in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. Joakim Noah, who was an offensive liability, we'll get to him later. So he plays the majority of the fourth quarter without Noah on the bench. Tom Thibodeau decides to go with Taj Gibson, I think Dunleavy, Mirotić, Butler, and Rose. And I think Snell was in there for...
By the way, Mirotić is awful defensively.
Okay, we can get to him later, too. He's in your crosshairs. But while the Bulls went small, unlike the other night when they went small, and I thought it really worked to their advantage, Mozgov stayed in the game. Mozgov stayed in the game yesterday, and in the fourth quarter had 6 points and 5 rebounds, and was a factor.
Huge.
Because the Bulls did not have a rim protector. I know Taj Gibson is defensively versatile. He's a lot of things. He gives you a lot of options. But he's not Joakim Noah. I know Noah defensively, I'm mm-hmm. talking about. Mm-hmm. And I think rebounding-wise and also the proverbial rim protector was not on the court for the Bulls. And I think Mozgov and the Cavs exploited that. So I think in the fourth quarter, LeBron James, while he was doing his thing, and it wasn't very good, J.R. Smith, who by—
Three enormous threes.
And you have a small lineup who kind of geared toward being able to get in his face and to prevent that, right? That's why you go small.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't work. And you were, meanwhile, you're getting used and abused in the lane by a 7-foot-1 center.
Who did not have to chase Pau Gasol to 18 feet, who can knock down that jump shot. That's another huge key.
Pau Gasol, you know, we hadn't even mentioned that he did not play with a hamstring injury, and he's questionable for game 5. And he really didn't play effectively Friday night either because of the hamstring. So now you're talking about potentially 3 games without Pau Gasol, which sort of balances out the Kevin Love factor.
No question about it.
But, you know, Mozgov not having to chase Gasol, not having to worry about Noah on the court, he was a big underrated aspect of the Cavs offense in the fourth quarter.
Mike at Chicago Heights, welcome to Cap and Haw. What's
up,
Mikey?
Just wanted to give you guys a couple comments and just maybe hear what you guys thought about what you know, my comment. Taj did not kind of slide over and pick up LeBron on that shot. I know it wasn't really his responsibility, but it was Dellavedova or whatever. And even when you pass it to LeBron, there's not enough time to give it back to Dellavedova for a layup. So I figured Taj should have just slid over just a little bit more and helped out Butler there. And you got, you know, you would have been able to at least put a little bit more on him. I don't know. I mean, what do you guys think?
Well, yeah. Look, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it, buddy.
I mean, Taj Gibson, could he have gone over quicker, half second quicker? Perhaps, yeah. I mean, I do think it's easy to say this when you're talking about defending the greatest player in the world of our generation. And he hits a shot. You just sometimes you have to say, nice shot.
To a
nice
degree,
job.
But here's where you and I think disagree. Technically, that was poorly defended from the get-go. You're not body-to-body with LeBron. That's how you're taught in that situation. Body-to-body. You don't have any help there. again, if you want to guard the inbounder with a taller guy like Joakim Noah or somebody like that, okay, Mirotić, whoever it is, you cannot allow LeBron unfettered access to the ball like that. You just can't.
Taj Gibson, after the game, was asked a couple series of questions, and I wrote about this as well, because it typified the kind of frustration that the Bulls felt and were consumed by. And I know they said all the right things, but I think that with the way Taj Gibson reacted, you have to, you know, understand it's all part of it too. You could feel for him, but he was asked how the Bulls could have defended it differently. And he says, then he asked the reporter, well, what do you think? And, you know, you could tell he was frustrated. And then the reporter came back at him and said, well, you're the expert. You know, probably that response set him off, because it was like said in a tone that he interpreted as being flippant, which isn't probably a good idea in that setting under those circumstances.
Not 7 minutes after he just had his heart ripped out.
Yeah, there might be time and place to be somewhat, you know, sarcastic, or even the interplay between an athlete and a reporter. I don't know that was the time or place. So Taj,
now what if he had said to Taj, when Taj asked him that question, he said back to him, well, you're one of the better defenders in the league, and I would like your input how you would have defended that play. That's a different way than going, well, you're the expert. Totally different.
Everything's about execution, Cap.
Presentation.
It's all about execution. So what Taj Gibson heard was something that set him off, and he said, well, you know, you're asking a dumb question. I'm done talking. And he was. And that's uncharacteristic of Taj Gibson, because he's probably one of the most accessible guys in that locker room, and one of the guys that gives you the best content after games. So that also just summarized just how much this hurt for the Bulls. This wasn't revenge for Craig Elo, but it stunk.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 312-235-2525. Manguel on the west side of our great city. Manguel, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Manguel.
What's going on, Captain? How are you guys doing today?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Listen, I just got two comments. Number one, I don't know if everybody knows or not, that the key to this series right here, you know, granted, we need all our guys, Parker, Salt, and everything, but the key is when Mike Dunleavy don't play well, the Bulls don't play well. If we can get him going early in games, that was opened up a whole lot of holes for everybody else. And number two, Cap, I think you can make our layups better than just Kim Noah's doing. It's just ridiculous. You right up under the rims and you just make no layups.
He's got no explosion in those knees.
No explosion and nothing. And he giving all this guy. Trust me, I love his heart hustle and muscle thing. But he got to give some. And plus two and tips, got to get Snell some minutes. Cause to me, it's like Jimmy Butler's wearing down. I know he's defending LeBron James.
I don't think he's wearing down at all.
I don't think so, Manguel. Thanks for the phone call.
Appreciate the call, buddy.
I think the point about Noah is right. How many layups do the Bulls miss as a team?
Oh, God.
Let me ask you this, Cap. I thought about yesterday. You know, you have the ongoing argument with people or debate with, you know, the college basketball tournament versus the NBA, or the college basketball versus the NBA. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, I sort of stay away. I appreciate both of them. I don't know that I feel as strongly one way or another as you do. But one of the things people come at you with is, gosh, you watch March Madness, first round. It's awful shooting. It's awful to watch. Awful basketball. How many layups is an NBA team allowed to miss before you deem that awful
that
to watch?
That was a sloppy game
yesterday.
Oh,
my gosh.
How about early in the game, Cleveland must have had seven consecutive possessions where they turned it over.
Yes.
With some of the dumbest passes you'll ever see.
In a playoff game.
Right.
In a playoff game where the stakes are very high. And whether it's Joakim Noah or even, you know, Derrick Rose went through a spurt, missing layups is just maddening. I don't think that there's a team in the NBA that could miss more layups than the Bulls have in the last 3 weeks.
Agreed.
But so
again,
it's crazy.
I think you'll be writing a column. How old is Joakim? 30?
Yeah.
20 years from now about him getting his knees replaced. I mean, he's got no cartilage left in there. He's gutting it out.
I got news for you. In 20 years, I don't think I'll be writing columns about the Bulls.
Never know.
Or at least maybe Joakim Noah.
312-235-2525. Vincent Goodwill, give us his take. We'll talk to Bill in Galesburg, Carlos in Chicago, and a bunch more of you. 312-235-2525.
What's a newspaper, Dad? What's a newspaper?
Let me show you, Sonny, this yellowed piece of copy. 312-235-2525. We'll be right back. Cap'n Haw, you're watching Comcast SportsNet and listening to WGN+.